32. Roll call.
Tim Oberbrockley.
Present.
Ron Moosman.
Present.
Ron Lower.
Here.
Crystal Walter. Diana Pagan.
Present.
Arthur Kim.
Here.
Ryan Russell. Jennifer Cunningham. Abby Hub.
Here.
Cindy, did you have a public comment?
No.
So we'll skip two and go to approving the minutes. Come back to two when Crystal gets here. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes at last?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Correction, possibly. On six announcements, 1527 Second Avenue Southeast. I did some research on that and I came up with George and Emma Lowe, with the house name on that. I don't know where the Churchill name came from, so I'm questioning whether which one's right. Isn't there a way to determine that? I looked in the, I went on the city's website and went down further through the surveys and did a search in there, and that's where I came up with the George and Emma Lowe house.
I believe the Churchills were a significant family that lived there, so that's how it's been referenced, but I don't think we wrote that as that is for sure the historic name.
Yeah, and I the reason I questioned that because in the CLG report, it lists for the name, and there wasn't one listed there, so I was looking. That's where I looked up the name, and then when I looked at the agenda for today and saw the minutes from the last one, that didn't agree with what I was looking for, and so that's my question. So.
Okay.
I'm agreeable to approving the minutes.
Okay, you got a first, second. I'll
motion.
I motioned. I don't think he seconded. I think he was just doing that.
I'll second.
Okay. I thought you did. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Going to number four, presentations. 4A 2019 recap.
Cool.
Do you want
this? Yeah, I'll drive for a little bit.
Don't go fast.
Will not. I'll go slow. So with this, just wanted to give you all a recap of HPC activity from 2019. So I don't know how familiar you all are with Google My Maps. I think it's an interesting resource for pretty accessible simple GIS tasks. So I compiled all of our COAs, CNMEs, demos, and then one facade structure alteration, and put them all spatially mapping them on Cedar Rapids with a spreadsheet. And so here you can see brown is demo, orange is CNME, green is COA. These two are painting projects with historic rehab money, so they don't really technically fall in COA or CNME as I understand it. And then the yellow is the facade structure. And I thought this might be useful to see where, particularly where demos are happening, if there is sort of market pressure in one area versus another. You see a few, I'm guessing these were farmhouses. I didn't do a thorough deep dive out here. There's one, a couple further out here, and then downtown.
Those ones way out fairly recent.
Yeah.
6th Avenue kind of stretch.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah, this is all the way out by Prairie. And then downtown, you've seen a few in the past year. And then otherwise, fairly scattered throughout. I also mapped from the city's historic viewer, the national historic sites or districts and the local districts. Of course, you see COAs and CNMEs only in the local districts. And then, any questions, comments on this, thoughts?
How do you get to this?
I can provide a link. I just made this going through all of our past meeting minutes and agendas. But it's something that if you want to do yourself with other projects or something, it's fairly easy to replicate. But I can provide that as well.
Is this something maybe we'd want on the HP website? does it not really pertain to the public enough to?
I think it's more of like an internal, just
mm-hmm.
like to kind of visualize.
Did that take a long time?
Not really. I just created a spreadsheet from our activity. There's only 82 projects last year, so it wasn't too time intensive.
Do we have a similar map of our priority list?
The focus properties?
Yeah.
We do have a map of those.
Interesting. Okay. I'm wondering if we might be able to overlay, if we created a mind map with that, it's just a click or unclick.
Mm-hmm.
Just have an overlay at least of like the priority ones that we choose each year, and then we can kind of figure out what's been happening, where we've been concentrating, where we might want to concentrate.
Yeah.
And so this is taking those numbers from last year and breaking it down into a spreadsheet, adding a few different characteristics of projects. The circles are what I thought were the more interesting numbers. So there were 42 CNMEs last year. Of those, 22 were roofing projects. The multiple category were projects that did multiple things. Typically, those were roofing, windows, doors, porch or deck, but I just lumped them into the multiple category. Only 9 COAs last year, which might speak towards the design guidelines and how those are working, I thought, and then 28 demolitions was the other interesting number from this.
Now those 28 that was all of your home map, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if that 28 is kind of an average for the last few years, or
something I could
this
do?
This is the first time this has come up as a total, and it's interesting.
We're going to have to send it to you. I actually did that before Thanksgiving, and that was too long ago for me to remember. So, we can send it out in an email.
So, I know we have a bunch of demolitions downtown. Is that something as a commission that we feel like is a normal occurrence when business is booming? Or is that something that we should be concerned about and trying to be proactive to maybe prevent or help in that area?
That was something that the Historic Asset Inventory Subcommittee talked about.
Okay.
And that's one of the, I'll call it categories or topic areas to kind of clue in on. So First Avenue, you know, pretty much pay attention on First Avenue just because it's First Avenue. But then if there is, you know, like Nubo, or if there's an area where there's a lot of development going on, or, you know, you start to see a lot of, like, maybe around the hospitals, that those might be kind of like triggers to maybe look at that area and say, okay, well, you know, we should kind of pay attention to this. And that's what the subcommittee talked about, that's an area that they should, you know, pay attention to.
And is there anything we can even do if it's private property? You know, we can put flags up, but maybe or maybe not really.
I mean, the idea with the subcommittee is that if you see something in one of those areas, those subcommittee members, you know, and it could be other members too, but just reach out to the property owner, just that introduction. You know, find out what if they have plans for the property. Do they know that this is a resource? They may not know that. And then what are things that kind of that educational piece that HBC is supposed to do? But then I think you're getting there probably as early as you can, because when it gets to the city, you're at like 98% done. I mean, it's, you know, before we even get it.
So it's very proactive.
And when I say we, I don't mean HPC. I mean even like development services, community development.
Yeah.
Hi, Crystal.
So looking a little bit more in depth. So here, looking at COAs and CNMEs combined together by local district, where are we seeing more activity? And this I didn't normalized by the amount of properties in each district. So I don't know if the Redmond Grand Avenue Park has local district has more houses or more units. versus the 2nd or 3rd Avenue. So that's something to take into consideration. But we saw a few more projects in the Redmond Grand Avenue local district, two local landmark projects last year. And then lastly, just breaking it down by types of projects that we saw. Again, roofing, far and away, was the most common project. Quite a few fences, the multiple as well, and windows were more prominent.
Is this all combined, or is this just CNMEs?
Just COAs and CNMEs.
Okay, so both of them. Mm-hmm. All of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff, can you go back to your very first slide of the city and just do a quick recap for Crystal, since that's what we're talking about?
Yeah. So this is a 2019 recap of HBC activity. Here I looked at all the projects that came to you all last year, 42 CNMEs, 9 COAs, and 28 demolitions, and then one facade structure alteration in Czech Village. Of those, I thought the roofing stuck out as an interesting number, that it's far and away the most common project that we see in the CNME category. In COAs, it was a smattering of all different types of projects. The multiple category typically included windows, doors, siding, roof, some combination of those types of projects. And then from this, I also mapped it spatially in the Google My Maps. So you could see the orange here is the CNMEs, green is COA, these two, what is that, we'll call it forest green, is painting projects, which was historic rehab program. And the brown is demolition projects.
Jeff,
and so
if you were to click on any one of those, does it bring up the property?
It does, and it brings up the description. Actually, it should have more info than that. Why doesn't it?
Would you object to emailing that to all of us? Because that'd be something interesting to go back and just look at when you're...
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, it should have a description. There you go. So it has a description column for each. So basically what I did was take the staff reports that we compile in each meeting for any of these projects and input them into a spreadsheet that then I imported into Google My Maps and mapped them spatially. And then it also, some of the other categories, I had historic rehab projects, the amount of the project.
The one thing, and I don't know whether to add it or not, but would be the grants, and to see how that looks on the map too, the grants, and whether they were tied to some of
the historic rehab program.
Yeah.
So with this, I can change how it's, or maybe I can't because I'm not logged into my email account, but I can change to show the symbology is what it's called, the different colors here. So it's showing, is the project receiving historic rehab money or not?
Yeah.
So you could see
that. Because that's the other thing that we've increased this year, or we worked on or focused on, was that. So, well, I think that's a good visual. Shows we aren't sitting around eating his cookie, eating Tim's cookie.
Lots of investment going into the local district.
Yeah.
I drive through the local districts several times, well, almost every night, and even going down Beaver Avenue, I mean, you still have a few, but overall, the neighborhood looks far better. And I don't think Beaver Avenue is not in the district, is it?
Part of it is.
Wait, oh, yeah, well, I turn off 3rd Avenue and go all the way down, and there's a few
three blocks.
Shaky places, but there's a lot of rebuilding going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Just,
no,
just,
yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Just one house.
All right.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, if you could email, that would be great.
Yep.
Because that's something that I would like to just sit down and start clicking on them and looking at them. Because we've seen a lot of them on here, most of them, but it'd be interesting to go back.
Mm-hmm. And I tried to do some analysis. With GIS, you can do a little more analysis spatially, but I could import neighborhood association shapefiles to see how many demolition projects are happening in each neighborhood, or looking at it, segmenting it in that way as well.
Any questions for Jeff?
Well, thank you, though. It's really good to see a bird's eye view. So you can really get an idea of the impact that we're having. That's very rewarding.
Okay, Crystal, we skipped to the election of the officer, so you can be part of it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so it's that time of year again, first meeting of HPC in the year, the election of chair and vice chair. So either one of those positions, an individual can hold that for 3 consecutive years, doesn't have to be off. Tim wrapped up his first year, and Ron his first year as vice chair. So I guess what we did last year is someone... I think we went through and someone made a motion or gave their interest. And
I talked to Ron prior to this. Both him and I have settled into the position, so I'm willing to stay on. But if anyone wants to throw their hat in the ring for either of those, feel free, and we'll just do a voting thing like we did last time. Should we start with the chair first?
Yeah.
Anyone want to throw their hat in? Cindy? So then someone would have to nominate.
Need a motion.
I move to nominate Tim for chair.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Jeez, thanks. Okay, for vice, does anyone want to throw their hat in for vice chair?
I'm willing to stay on if someone wants
to. Motion to nominate Ron for vice chair. Ron Musman.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
So I believe everyone's aware of this, but just to refresh your memory, Cedar Rapids is part of the Certified Local Government Program. It's run by the State Historic Preservation Office. Every year, to be a part of that program, we have to submit an annual report that kind of goes over what we've done during the year, kind of talks about our goals and things like that. So today you guys are reviewing a draft that we put together, and you guys can, you know, give feedback and you can edit it and take it to City Council.
What's our timeline, Laura?
So this is due March 6th, so we need to take it to Council probably by the end of February. So we could potentially, you know, review it at another meeting, but we can also just make amendments at this meeting and pass it. I also wanted to mention we did get a grant through the CLG program, so that's kind of another reason why we want to keep our CLG status so that we're still eligible for grants moving forward.
That's the Beaver Woods.
Correct. Yep. So that's going to be wrapping up here early summer. So I didn't want to kind of do a slide on everything in the report because I feel like it's better to just read through it, but I just wanted to highlight, I think, one of the more, nuanced or subject to opinion sections of the CLG report, which is kind of asking what are some of the successes you've seen over the year and what are some issues, challenges. So I wanted to highlight, throughout the report we highlight many successes, but some that I highlighted here, 2 new local landmarks, success with the historic rehab program, the work that the Historic Asset Inventory Subcommittee has done. And then I also highlighted kind of 2 projects that happened this year, the Guarantee Bank Strand Theater project and the Ambrose project. Those are both underway. Obviously, they haven't started construction yet, but that's kind of 2 exciting historic preservation projects. And then the challenges I highlighted, one of them being kind of the discussion that HPC has had this year or in 2019 over how many modifications to allow at a historic property wanting to allow investment in a property, but also wanting to make sure that, you know, parts of a house are, restored and kept up. Specifically, I remember, you know, conversation about, you know, allowing vinyl windows and how many and things like that. So I kind of highlighted that as a challenge. Additionally, we've had conversation about the design guidelines and kind of what to do with them with these kind of newer historic homes. We've talked about kind of 60s and 70s that are going to start becoming, I guess some of them already are, but becoming historic and kind of how to deal with that, in addition to kind of how to work with our design guidelines with ADA requirements, such as like a ramp and things like that. So those are just kind of a few things I highlighted in the report, but I'm definitely open to other thoughts. I don't think, that's all I have on the slides.
Warren, on your local landmarks front, was yours a national or a local?
We had the national before, now it's local.
Wasn't that in 19?
Yep, that's the Whitworth Groceries model.
Yeah,
sorry. I wanted to say one other thing. The report, when you print PDF it, it cuts off sections. So I included a Word document at the end of it that provided the full text for the ones that were cut off. So sorry, that's not the most clear thing ever, but just wanted to make sure you guys had access to that.
Under successes, does it make us look better to have a lot of successes? Because there's a few that I can think about off the top of my head that are pretty good successes for the Conservation Commission. Or are we just happy with that?
We can definitely add more. Like I said, throughout the report I talk about things that we've done. There are other questions like, what have you done to educate the public about? What have you done to do? And so I consider those successes too, but I didn't want to necessarily repeat things again.
Yeah.
But I could, you know, very briefly repeat them again in the successes if we want to just have everything in there.
I think that one of the big ones that I saw at the event that I went to was that people have trouble with the city, and we have the opposite of that problem. We have a lot of success because of all the help from the city. So I feel like that's something we might want to highlight. But I don't know if that's, but you guys, you support us. You just have a lot of great things that come from it. And we, from what I saw with other commissions, it was a lot of problems with their local government. So I don't know if that's something that we want to add, but I do have to say I was very pleased with the commission that I sent out because of it.
Yeah.
And that would be up to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you word that?
Success.
What do you say was a success? Are communications with city staff?
Communication and pliability when it comes to the historic needs of the community and willingness to help us be successful.
I'm not sure if that would fall under a success story. That would be more of an operations, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If you can think of a way to...
To word it, that would...
To word that to make it fit, if you think it fits.
Or find a different question.
Yeah.
I have some things to list on the challenges. There were several things this past year that we discussed at great length, and I think those need to be included because that's something that Paula always looks for, because we've had that discussion before. And the first one I have written down is the discussion that went around with CNMEs and front doors in the historic district. And I think I missed the meeting where that was probably finally discussed, and so I don't know exactly what happened, but I would like to see a synopsis of the challenge it was and what the workaround or the result is now.
Yeah.
And the next one is the Section 106 consultation on the 30th Street Drive property. I'm still quite confused by the documentation I have because of the dates on it and who submitted it and who filled it out and who they got information from and stuff like that. But I am all certainly aware of it because I've made her aware of it, that we need to have something in place so that this doesn't happen again. It's happened in the past, and I know it's going to happen again on another property that might happen this year, might not. But I think my suggestion would be, and I might make a motion later on, that staff come up with a letter that we sign and send to Schiphol saying that anything that is initiated by the city or a federal government that Schiphol receives that that is 106 related, that we want to be consulted on it. And that's kind of my thought on it. And I guess we can discuss that as a commission as to how people feel about it. But that certainly was an issue last year, and it's still not resolved. And I know it's going to happen again. And
You're saying that the consultation process of Section 106 you feel is not being adhered to?
I'm saying that in the forms that were filled out, especially the one that where Schiphol was asked to comment, the boxes were checked, that due diligence was done on the historic part of it, and part of the information on filling out that form specifically talks about getting history from local experts or consulting with which the HBCs and so forth, and that wasn't done in that respect. Now, the other form that was filled out, site inventory form, has things checked in it that process had gone through, but I talked to Mark Stover Hunter, he wasn't aware of what went on, and I don't know that any of us were consulted on it. So I don't think the outcome would have changed by us being involved, but I would like to make sure the next time and I think FEMA is the one that initiated this, and they passed the responsibility onto the city to walk it through the process. And I want to make sure if that happens again and the city is responsible for walking it through the process, that we are consulted on it as a commission. And so whatever that takes to get that done is what I would like to see. Now, I know other preservation groups have talked about it, and they've recommended that interested parties, whether they be preservation nonprofits or HPCs, that should know ahead of time that they want to be consulted on that type of thing. Because there is a possibility that they don't have to tell you about them, but that's not the way the National Preservation Act really reads out. You know, there's always public input and wanted on. They always want public input on these projects, and I just want to make sure that we get that done. And I don't know how. I don't think in the CLG highlights you have to put a lot of discussion about it. That we've had it. That we're working on a process to resolve that, so that we're informed when those things happen. But I guess.
So
if somebody else has information they want to bring up, that's fine.
I would suggest maybe on a future, whether it's the February 13th agenda, we could have an item so staff understands what you're saying and everyone else, so we can just have more of a discussion on that.
Yeah, because certainly if you go to Schiphol's website, they have instructions on filling out that one form, the short form that we were emailed, that gives the description of how that you should involve or get information from the different historic groups. And I can read it, I've got it here, but if we're going to discuss it, we can do it then. You can bring up Schiphol's website and we can talk about it. Because, like I said, it's happened in the past, it's going to happen again, and I just want to get something in place so that we're consulted.
In addition to that, Grins has already reached out, the nonprofit, to Paul to see if both nonprofits can be included in that information we sent, in case there has to be a hostile moot. And Paula did not see a problem, but she's checking in any technicalities that might prevent them from doing that. That way, if like say CR and Friends got it, for instance, the house that was
That's what I'm talking about.
If Friends and Safe Sierra and HPC would have got ahead of that, we might have been able to move it. I'm not guaranteeing that we would, because I think it was moved there to begin with. So I think what Mark said, but she didn't see a problem with that, but she was going to check in to see if there's any legalities to letting nonprofits know about federal CLGs. And we do not do it. We should have a, who called? Was it Mark or Bob? I can't remember. I don't remember who was checking with Paul and got that information, but if we get more, we can bring that up at that meeting. Yep. Ron's got one more thing.
One more thing. The 1527 Second Avenue house that was demolished by the city, it's listed in the CLG as a listed property that was demolished. I'd like to see some information put in the CLG report as to, we know it was the zombie house, you talked about it, how the city acquired it, what they did in the interim to try to preserve it, and what the outcome was that they couldn't do that. I think we need to have some information that says this was the house that we were, the city was concerned about. They bought it. They had it for 9 or 10 months. Did they try to reach out to groups to refurbish that house, try to save it? What happened? Because we didn't find out about it until it was going to be demolished. And I think there should be some information passed along. Because, and the other thing, before I forget about it too, is there a form that SHPO wants, because that was a listed property, to say other than in here that was, that no longer exists? And would that form say what is the reasons, what happened, you know, because it was a city property? I think we need to note it in the report, and I'd like to know if there's more information, because the city acquired it in January. It was demolished in November or December, whenever it was. What did the city do to try to salvage that house?
Is that the zombie house?
For the record, that's not a very nice one.
Well, I know, but it was how it was discussed.
But if it sat there for 9 months and nobody did anything, city bought it knowing they were going to demolish it, and nobody said anything to anybody about it until they demolished it.
So just to be clear, the city bought it. We actually gave HPC an update on that, and the city bought it to hopefully basically flip it, sell it to someone to renovate it. When the city was able to get in there and actually do a physical inspection of it, it was deemed no longer safe to be in. And that's all been shared with HPC. So the city didn't own it for a long time and decided not to do anything with it. I want to clarify that we just didn't sit on it and not do anything with the house. We actually did. When it actually went to demo, yes, that was further along, but as soon as the city could get in to inspect it, it was structurally unsound. I shared with HPC the notice and order that had that information.
And I kind of remember that, but I went through all the agendas to see if that house was listed on the agendas for this calendar year, and I didn't see it. So I thought I remembered that we talked about it at one point in time, but it wasn't an agenda item that showed up that I could review and go back and listen to
it. I do remember talking about it, because that's on the kitchen floor.
So we gave an update when we purchased it, and then we gave another update after the inspection took place. And I even shared with the commission the paperwork.
And that's exactly what I would like to see in the CLG report. Because if I was a state and you demolished a listed property, I'd want to know what you did led up to the demolition, you know.
Sure.
I mean,
and the 20 plus years of it being neglected by the non-city owner.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
To be clear.
I think that kind of takes us some onus away from us that we aren't doing anything and we have
to
restore properties then.
Yeah. Are you suggesting putting that in the challenges section, or there's not really a specific section that goes in?
There is.
It's that section where it's listed.
Where do we put that in?
Yeah,
it's got customs, and there's nowhere to really.
Right.
Under 3.1, where it lists demolished, removed,
right,
or altered. If you could ask for that demolished and put it at the end of the part that, you know, mean, maybe Abby knows, since you have some state history, mm-hmm. that is there a form that should the city should fill out or we should fill out based on a listed house that has gone away that they want?
Not, I mean, they don't want to hear, like, about each house that's listed. I mean, if there were a lot, then they would, I mean, they'll probably have that on their radar, but if a lot start coming down, then they'll step in.
The thing that made me think that there might be some, because on the 30th Street Drive house, there was a site inventory form for that house to be demolished and go away. And it wasn't.
Yeah, because it had FEMA dollars in it. And if it's not individually, that house wasn't individually listed.
Mm-hmm.
It was listed as
a district.
I mean, we can let Paula know, and then just she can tell us, don't let me know again until you have a block go down. But we can get in touch with her and let her know.
I mean, have they ever questioned, like, the automobile row and all those that?
I don't know.
Because that would be, I think that's
well, I
more.
I think I heard some discussion about that, that they were concerned that if we lose any more, we're going to lose that district.
Right.
So.
And that's
so
good.
I think they're certainly aware of that.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, it's the same because there's a lot have been going down as opposed to one. You know, there's starting to be more, and then they'll look into that.
See, and I was at that meeting many years ago when they were going to do the auto row as a local district. And I asked a question because, I don't know if it was Paula was there, but the state was there. And I asked how many buildings you needed to be a district. And she asked why. St. Luke's Mercy and the PCI and the Medford were there at that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because you've got four of them out of this, I think there's 18 at the time that I know are scheduled to be demolished. And I said, how many can you remove? And they didn't know.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, Savannah, Georgia, they're now on the endangered, they're a national landmark, and they're now on the endangered list of being removed. Because they've had so much change and so much demolition, but there was nothing, I mean, it was just like an overall, okay, you got new construction overpowering, you know, historic properties and all this stuff, so there wasn't any, it just happened, and when the Chabot office was like, we need to look into this, but it wasn't any, there was nothing really precise that they could say, oh, you've lost seven buildings or whatever, that's
I don't know if we need to tell Paula or if it just needs to be documented somehow.
So she will be told through this report. So she will be notified of it via this report. But we can certainly talk to her, too.
This is going to be way out there, but is there any way HPC can get a, and maybe it's already out there, but the addresses of city-owned acquired properties that are just sitting there? Not zombie. Well, like a perfect case would be the Chelsea building, formerly Panizza. They bought that thinking that they were going to tear it down and make it part of the amphitheater, et cetera, et cetera, and the flood wall. As it turned out, we worked as a group here and really hard to save it. And BJ, she was on this group at the time, Hobart, with their work, and it was saved. But that could have easily been, it almost did, was gone. And that sat for 2 years being rained on.
And there's a lot more context that's not being shared just with your statement as to why the city did not, you know, the city council deemed the use of public funds to put into that was not justified at the time. So there's a lot. It seems out of context when you say the city bought a property and did nothing with it, because that's not true. We had an expert come in to look at the structural part of it and, you know, all that. And again, that was because it was deemed, city council deemed the use of public funds for that purpose. So,
but as it turned out, all that was.
It's just out of context. The impression is given that the city purchases properties and then does nothing with them.
Well, I happen to know it was bought as a territory.
Right, but that's my point, though, that there's more context to the properties, just like with the Millie House. The city purchased it with the intent of hopefully being able to sell it.
I just thought we could get a list of some of the ahead of it before it got to a teardown point.
We
don't know about it until it's too late.
I don't think there's very many. Just off the top of my head, Ambrose is probably the only like vacant building that the city owns, but I mean I can look into that. But we're not in the business of acquiring properties just to hold on them, you know. So I can look into it though, but
okay. So have you figured out how we want to tackle that?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna just add it as a
the Millie House.
The Zombie House.
Yeah. I mean I can add text if you want, or I can just leave the address there and we can talk with Paula
about it, or you can just leave the address.
Okay.
I mean if it certainly has been recorded now and we've had a discussion at least that gives us more information about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more current for people that might not have been here when we talked about it previously.
Okay.
So
did you have more, Lauren, to share with us before I ask any more questions?
No, go ahead.
Crystal?
Yeah, I feel like question 18, our progress over the 2019 work plan, I just feel like you could elaborate a little bit more. It's very condensed when it's, you know, it's everything we did in the 2019 work plan.
Mm.
And I guess I don't know necessarily what you've attached there. We've done a lot.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the work plan does highlight everything that was accomplished in 2019 at the very beginning.
Okay. Good.
So yeah, I'm trying to not be super repetitive, but I can definitely,
sure.
I mean, I can just copy and paste it in if that's better.
One more thing, and I don't know that I've ever noticed it before, and that is under the commissioners. Does this person serve as a contact with State Historic Preservation Office for the commission? I think at least the officer should be checked yes on that. The question doesn't fall under staff, and we know staff does talk to them, but certainly I know in the past that the chair has talked with Schiffel in conference calls and stuff, so on behalf of the commission. So I think unless somebody disagrees with that. I mean, it's not like
we can check with Paula. The question is because officially no, that's not the case. But maybe that's not what's being asked. It's just kind of a general.
Okay. Yeah, I mean
the term the contact.
Because the contact in regards of HPC with the state is city staff. But we can check to see if she just means like, you know.
I mean, I don't want her not to take my call if I call her.
And
I don't think
she would.
I don't think she would either, but I was kind of reading that into that if you know, would she not take that call because we said that.
I have a suspicion that with smaller jurisdictions or smaller areas where you have just a city clerk that does everything, that a chair or vice chair might actually act as that.
And I guess I haven't reviewed the CLG agreement. It may speak to that too as to whether or not I mean, the CLG agreement spells out, you know, the staff's position, so I may spell out what the commissioner's position or their position is as well. But I didn't review that, so.
Is anybody happy with 8.1? I don't want to get worried.
So that one is the one that's cut off, so you'll want to look at the Word document.
Say this at the announcement, but it kind of fits in with everything we're talking about. I was asked as chair to sit on the 5-year long-term planning commission, and there was 32
commission members.
And each one of us had to go around the room, and there was three questions. I thought the three questions kind of overlapped, so we ended up kind of mixing them all together. But as an HPC chair, what I said was our biggest thing, which kind of feeds into this too, is intensive surveys. And I explained to them, I met that in the car, that we had 20 that were listed, co-college or in Heights, I won't read them all. 17 of them were actually listed in print, and they said the only one that has gotten any taken off the ground is the Beaver Woods, and that was because of a CLG from the state, from SHPO. And I basically explained how it's hard for us to do our job because we're getting a lot of demos that are coming up in neighborhoods that didn't qualify as an intensive survey, but now it's 20 years later, 25 years later, 15 years later, it might put them past the 50-year mark. They're very perceptive, they agreed with that, but I said, we're getting things coming before us that we can't really even, like, to put a 60-day hold is all we can do because it's not a historic district. And I said, there's a lot of the co-college, I explained that's not the college campus, it's the buildings around Vernon Heights. I named a few of them, and so I put as our big goal was to see if we could get funding or some type other than CLG money to get more intensive surveys. And then Jennifer agreed that a lot of the surveys we have now are what's called windshield. They drive by. They don't really count. So, and they ask questions on, well, what happens with the survey? And I basically said, once it's surveyed, like Beaver Woods, if that becomes a local landmark, we can protect it through HPC. Otherwise, we cannot. It's private property. So that was our first meeting. There's 6 months. Each commission had what they felt was their thing that they. So a lot of the stuff that's in this kind of falls into that. So I'm glad that that was in there because that's going to kind of connect those two. I don't know where it will go, but I would like to see us be able to get more intensive surveys done, like the Beaver Woods, mm-hmm. to possibly become. I know Friends was going to do it on their own and start trying to do surveys and knock on doors to get the 61%, but it takes a lot of time, as you guys know. And we're all, except for Ron, we're all working. I mean, I work 11 and a half, 12 hours a day, so it's hard. But I want to do it because I really think Vernon Heights should be an important one with all this. And they're so well kept now that it gets done. But anyway. I brought that up, and they were very interested in that, and they all took notes, and it gets rediscussed at each meeting, so we'll see where it goes. But I mean, if there's no money, there's no money, mm-hmm. but at least it's creating public awareness.
Mm-hmm. And it is in the work plan for us to do that,
mm-hmm.
reevaluate those areas for priority.
Okay, did anyone have anything they wanted to add?
I just have some housekeeping. 24.2, there's like a date of commissioner's term will end, but there's no commissioner.
Yeah, it was a little confusing because it says secretary and we don't have a secretary.
Yeah, I just don't know if you just put NA. Can you not put NA in there?
Oh, here? No, yeah, it wouldn't allow me to put it.
Oh. So nobody, no secretary.
I could maybe, I could put zero.
I don't know who I talked to. My address is updated.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you want to just shoot me an email?
Yeah. And then I was not at the Preservation Iowa SHPO conference either.
Oh.
Did you? Diana.
Diana. But then I thought, well, maybe I didn't.
But your
you went to that, did you?
Yeah.
You went to that.
I did.
Yeah,
I went to
right.
the.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, do you trust me to make the edits, and can you feel comfortable voting on it at this meeting?
Everybody feel comfortable with the corrections you made?
I can always send you guys a copy.
Can we get a pinky swear?
Of course.
Someone want to you guys are comfortable with the additions are going to be made, do you want to see the actual additions made at a future meeting, or are you comfortable with what we discussed?
I can always send you guys the copy, and
right,
we can always.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Motion to.
Do you have to sign it? Does he have to sign
the
it?
Mayor actually signs
oh.
it, so
oh,
we'll
right.
present to City Council and then he'll sign it. Yeah.
Okay. What were we going to say? Motion to approve the document, provided that the changes are made. By Lauren. That would be requested.
Is that descriptive enough?
Sure.
Sorry, a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Okay, number six, discussion items. Local landmark application review process.
Oh, did you?
Is there anything?
Oh.
It's just discussion.
Oh, the slides are on. Okay. So I think we were asked to give this at the last meeting, and then we canceled what would have been the last meeting. So basically just wanted to briefly go through. The question was, you know, a little bit more information about local landmark process. We do have a form. This is basically, and this will come up more with the Beaver Woods survey. We'll have a meeting that really talks about next steps. But whether it's a district or a landmark, it's really up to the property owner. Staff's role is to just facilitate, to give them, let them know, you know, this is the process, help them through that. And then with HPC, one of the changes that came up, Paula Moore with SHPO indicated that if it is a local landmark, SHPO does not want to review those applications. They still do with a district, but they do not with a landmark. So what that means then, that level of review of that application is it has to shift, and it's really going to shift in two parts, to staff and to HPC. So what that would mean basically, and I asked Paula, because that's clearly not my background, how does one do that if you don't have that background? And her comment was, you should see sightings, sources, you know, bibliography, reference, whatever you want to call it, to back up statements, and statements should not be vague. So as an example, she said, if you're looking at it and it says, this structure is important because John Smith was an important person in the development of Cedar Rapids, that is not sufficient. Why was he an important person? What did he do, and what are the resources that anyone then can go look at that and say, yep, you're right, he was important to the development of Cedar Rapids. So when we get those applications, that's what we'll look for, is to make sure that there are not any general statements, that things are backed up with some sort of sources, references. And then the other part of that is then when it comes to HPC, because there really isn't a timeline on these things, it would be self-imposed. So one thing that to have you guys think about, and this can also change as we go through this, but one example would be, we would present this local landmark application and just kind of give the basics, and then give you guys electronically or hard copy the application, and then put it on the next agenda for action. So then it would be, you know, 2 weeks. We can also do that differently. Maybe it's 4 weeks, however, you know, the commission wants to do that. But then you have a brief presentation on it, and then you have chance to actually look at it and just double check those things. And then you could take action on it, and then it would follow the normal process of going to City Planning Commission and then the three readings at City Council.
What we were worried about is we don't want this to get watered down. We just have anything get passed as a local.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
to follow the same guidelines as national. And I don't think, I mean, when I first started on this, we didn't have Mark Hunter, a local. He used to be on until the flood. He brought his expertise 3 years after I was on. So we did, like Todd McNall says, we did operate fine without a local historian, but with something like this, I think it would, like Adam says, behoove us to be able to research it. Let me reach out to Mark, all of us, Abby, you've got research too. So we really aren't just passing anything just because it's nominated.
I did ask that almost verbatim, that question. I said, well, my concern is then, as you're watering down kind of the point or the idea of, and Paula said, she goes, I really don't think that's what you're doing. If the commission thinks these are important, someone living in Altoona might have a different opinion of how important a structure was to someone in Cedar Rapids. So, but yeah, that's a that was something that I had asked her. So,
I'm gonna be kind of old school here. Rather than an electronic copy, I'd rather have a printed copy, because if I'm gonna research it and look at it, I might want to make notes on a hard copy. And so,
yeah.
If it came at one meeting, that would give me an opportunity to do that before the next time.
Sure.
And one of my concerns is, as I've said many times, we're not all going to be here. You know, we're all going to move on. Like, I've got 2 years. I want to make sure that we keep this process, because, yes, I don't mean tough, but I want to make sure things that we're putting through really deserve to be local.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it'd be embarrassing if we put it through as local. Cause, see, we always reflected on SHPO. We were uncertain, we just sent it to them, they'd ask us questions, and we could say a yay or nay, and it would either be denied or go through. We lost that now, that process. But I'd hate to have us throw something in that was local, and then they wanted to get national, and it came back way off the charts that it wasn't national, and we made it local. So it's, it, I think it muddies the water, what they're doing personally, but they, is it a time? I think she said it was a time.
She didn't give me an answer.
They're probably overwhelmed.
Is it going to be harder, though, for, is the city council going to be harder on us because they haven't got an expert opinion from SHPO on some things? You know?
I don't believe so. And I don't know, and I don't know if you can answer this, I don't know if we've ever received a question from city council on why this was being nominated.
But that's usually because SHPO's already ruled on it.
They may not even know. That could be, but they may not also know.
SHPO was involved in the picture.
Yeah, I mean, city council may not know that they were.
Because what we have to also keep in mind, too, something, and is then they're going to qualify for that grant money. So we want to make sure that someone's not just doing a local landmark because.
No, you got the grant money.
They want heavy.
So at the state level, or if you're applying for. The National Register, you go and present in front of a group. And so can we somehow tie that in? Like, the owner has to come, or whoever's nominating it has to come present the project to us.
Would you do that our first meeting or our second meeting? I'd probably say first meeting.
I would say, well, I was going to say second, because it gives you a chance to review, and
yeah.
That you might have a lot of questions.
Okay.
Trying to think back to when we went to the History Center,
mm-hmm.
and the timeline that they gave us to pull information was not 2 weeks.
It was like a month.
It was like a month.
Yeah.
Which means that if we present in one and vote on the next, that's not enough time to go and research and get a full pull of information from the History Center.
They said it can vary.
Yeah.
We could start off with 4 weeks.
Yeah,
and
I
just
don't
see how that
longer than it needs to be, but I mean, if they can't pull the information
in
time and we're getting partial information into the research, I think that's
the HPC needs to be comfortable with how with everything about that. So if 4 weeks makes you comfortable.
Yeah. I think so technically you would get 3 weeks because we send the agenda out a week early. So
okay. So
and I reach out to Mark on all these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like a walk-in, it's like the white library.
Yes.
So I'm a date now. I'm not sure if everything's totally accurate because he's got so much to try to head. But you can throw out a date and you can say, oh yeah, that would definitely, because it would fall under the Wright brothers lived in the garage that was behind there, whatever. And he would be able to tell us if it's going to fit under the two categories, one architectural or famous people live there. Or so that would help. That gives us a head start.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had their hand raised. So you're saying 3 weeks is...
Well, we were just talking. We could require, if they wanted to get it on a certain meeting date, they have to get it in the Thursday before that Thursday. So
mm-hmm.
they have to get it in 4 weeks before the
so
week.
So just make the requirements a little different than...
And we would send it out, so it wouldn't come in the agenda. We would just email it out, or email, and then we could print... so that way you're getting it.
Would we be able to ask staff request at the History Center if an application comes in, so that we get the request in for information as early as possible?
My understanding is the individual has to do it, because
okay.
then someone contacts the individual to schedule that
schedule
time
it?
Period.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Adam, speaking of the History Center, I was contacted by our vice chair from Friends. I know you, the city, paid
mm-hmm.
for Save Sierra, but we also paid our own, but it's going to be due in April. Is the city going to do that again, or should I send a check so we can do research? We're
we'll
double paid now because you
yeah.
guys paid and we had already sent a check.
We'll talk offline. You said April?
I think April.
Okay. Yeah, let's chat offline and we can get that figured out. So what I'm hearing is start off with the 4 weeks
yeah.
and just see how that goes. And again, this is a city process. There's not an outside timeline, so we can make that longer or shorter as you guys deem fit.
Is there a way we can
put
this, I don't know if it's chapter 18 of the guidelines, once we find a recipe that works, can we incorporate it into chapter 18 so it's in the law, so when all of us are gone, they have that to follow?
So I would recommend not. We can do, we do this with chapter 32 for zoning, where we call them, and I'm blanking on the name right now, but it's an internal like protocol, SOP, because if we put that in chapter 18, that's council action, and then if you decide, you know, this 4 weeks is just not enough, you need more, we have to go through that again and amend it.
As long as it's documented, so we have a
something yep.
of a guideline.
Well, and I can see like local. So it's just local landmark. If it's local district,
that would go to SHPO.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So like Grace Church, Sadie Building. What if they're already a national? That's pretty much a shoo-in for us. If they've already made it to a national level, that we could probably put through quicker. Except Paula wanted changes on one that we did for things that happened to the building since it was national.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what we want.
Yeah.
So I guess we still would want to review
yeah.
to see if they remove walls or
mm-hmm.
yeah. stained glass windows.
If we standardize the process, I would say we would want to.
Still
we want to plan for the toughest situations
right.
that we have.
Yeah.
The easy ones will be easy.
And I said the word toughest too, and I don't want to sound like we're law enforcement, but I really want to make sure we get something done really good, so we're not just having anything go through as a local
yeah.
landmark. Any more questions? We have this as a continuing agenda item to update us on how we're going to do it. As far as
we need to develop,
you're going to
the
put
SOP
all this together,
discussion item.
A discussion
yeah.
item, so we can.
We can. I can email that. We'll type it up, write it up, and then we can email it out to the commission if that works.
And then vote on it, or how?
I don't think you need to do that, but I would though, you know, if someone is feeling, don't be afraid to say you need more time, or there's something else maybe that would help your review go easier, we can talk about that.
Can you just, who's taking the notes on this, both of you?
Yeah.
Can you just give us a real quick recap of what we talked about? On how
yes.
we're going to make this process work? So I need to talk 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you would like two meetings, the first just to kind of go over the basics of the application and have a discussion, and then the second meeting is when you'd actually have the applicant come in and you vote on it, potentially. We would require that the application be turned in 4 weeks before you would vote on it, so whatever that Thursday is. We would bring in hard copies of the application at the meetings, and staff will develop an SOP that you guys can review at the next meeting, or we'll mail it out.
And there might be also an explanation process to the applicant, so they know why it's taking so long, just so we can do our due diligence and research.
We have some of that information on the website about local landmarks.
We do, so we can update that as well.
So we could put that information there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody happy with that? Make a motion or anything on this?
Nope.
Okay. Future agenda items.
said future, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Level 6 consulting issues.
Oh, and the future agenda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
No, no, future. Future.
Sorry, guys, it's been a long 23 days of January. Does anyone have, Abby?
Are we going to apply for a CLG grant again? Would there be any reason we would want to do that?
We have not.
I think one future item would be reviewing, unless we had a date already picked out, reviewing the areas in the plan
yeah.
for doing
a
survey.
The next meeting, we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then, yes, our intent would be to just keep applying.
Okay.
I would like an agenda item added for a discussion on, I always have a hard time with this, CNME, as far as roofing. Roofs. Several people in the historical district were not happy that the slate roof went up, came down, and asked, well, it should be light materials, and it's not light materials. I realized that it was very expensive to do slate, but I think some of those should come before the board. If it's a tile roof, especially if Beaver Woods becomes a district, there's a lot of, like I've mentioned, the houses you could enter into Beaver Park, it would be sacrilegious to have that blue tile roof off and put an asphalt shingle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those should come before us, and I think some of it you said already is.
Well, we did review the design guidelines before making that decision, and they followed the design guidelines, but we can certainly
we need probably
go
have a discussion
through that
to
and
see if we need to update those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it says something, I forget exactly what the wording is, so maybe we should just review it, but I thought it was something like, you know, asphalt shingles are okay if the other type is not. I forget exactly what the wording is, but it was something like if you couldn't do this other typing, then asphalt was okay. And so we used that as a reasoning for allowing it.
Because 10, 15 years down the road, again, if we're all gone and we get three new districts, especially if it's Vernon Heights with the mansions,
mm-hmm.
they fall way outside the realm of what we normally come across on this board as
mm-hmm.
far as roofs, doors, stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could have a discussion item on of what I said, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if we need to, in our discussion, I don't know how we go about changing or amending Chapter 18, if we just see them.
I think it would be a design guideline
yeah.
change.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chapter 18 says look at the design guidelines, so that's why, so that's where we get the ability, staff and HBC to do CNMEs and COAs is by using the design guidelines. So it would be just amending that, and that would go to City Council.
We're not allowed to discuss anything at this point if it's not. I know you had said you missed the meeting on the doors. Are we allowed to refresh him?
Yeah.
Well, we came up with the doors, Adam and Paul, myself, and Jennifer Pratt got together. Because, and I still have people in the historic district that are not happy that that we rule on a 2x2 window, but we don't tell them we're talking about this already. We don't have any permit or discussion on doors. So what we did,
you were not the meeting?
What we ended up doing, the best we could do, as Jennifer said, we didn't want to make it really hard to get additional districts because if they had to look in the door, da 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 da, et cetera, et cetera. So what we're going to do is when they apply, Adam's got to, maybe you can fill in here, what his requirements are to those people. They need to bring pictures in, because as I told everyone at that meeting, it's not just the door. Some of those houses have very intricate case millwork around it, hinges,
mm-hmm.
door sizes. Why don't you fill me in, Adam, on,
sure.
on what you are going to require them to do. Just, and this is going to come up again, because there's still people that aren't happy about it, say the commissioners and stuff, so it's probably going to come back up again. But
mm-hmm.
if you could fill in
mm-hmm.
with Ron and catch him up, I don't know, maybe not all of you were here at that meeting either. So,
this does not count for the last meeting when we gave an update on those CNMEs, but anyone's going forward from that, we would require a photo prior to issuing the CNME. Of whatever it is that they're doing. So if they're doing siding, windows, porch, and then after the work is done, we will require another photo of the after. So we'll have a before and after. So that way, to Tim's point, anything that's decorative, if we see it in the before and we don't after, I know that's kind of maybe too late, but at least we can, you know, they did not do what they were approved to do, essentially,
they
by that.
They could still
so.
Be penalized for it, too, and maybe we'll be able to change it, although, like you said, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late, but then that was my point that I made at the meeting. And as Jennifer said, she didn't want to make it to where we put so many restrictions that when we try to get that 61, is it 61%, 60%, they say, hell no, sorry, heck no. My neighbor was told what kind of door, da-da-da-da. But the flip side of that is the door is still a key point to any facade of a building. That's and I made the point, here too, that my building, the whole key point of my building is the veranda on the top, the peacock window, and the side lights and the French door. If I was to put two solid metal doors on there, it would, number one, I wouldn't be national anymore. So that was the point. And they all understood that, so that's what we came up with. At this point, I think there's still room for discussion for changes down the road. Is that the view of the month?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other future agenda items?
I would just add Beaver. We'll give an update on the Beaver Wood survey.
Yeah.
No, at the next. Yeah, because we can have maps and brief discussion.
Number 8, announcements.
Okay, so this is not, so I have two. First one, the Historic Asset Inventory Subcommittee, which we mentioned previously, we canceled their last meeting for lack of a quorum, so just wanted to let the commission know. I think I did give an update after the last meeting, which was really phenomenal. They had 10 properties, 12? There's a grouping of multiple, but really contact had been made to the majority of those focused property owners, and there were discussions starting. So I think that was a huge win, especially for this kind of being the inaugural one. So again, just wanted to let you know that we did have to cancel that meeting. And the idea with that meeting was to take a look at the list, or just not take a look at the 500 plus properties, but would be an ability to add, as well as giving updates on progress on the focus properties, and decide if 2019 focus properties are still 2020 properties. So it gives the committee the ability to adjust that based on progress, or if there's something else that's maybe more pressing. You know, they see a larger company buys a historic house, they may want to shift and start talking to that property owner. So.
I also wanted to mention, so Ron Lohr and Ron Moosman are the two reps from HPC who are on the Historic Asset Inventory Subcommittee, and I just wanted to check in. You know, it's been a year now that we've been doing this, so if you guys want to continue being on it, that's great. I just wanted to check in. And
if somebody else wants on it, I'm fine with
that
too.
Yeah, I'm working on a couple of the list on the inventory, but that doesn't have to be necessarily as part of that subcommittee, but I continue if that's okay.
My same sentiments. Same sentiments. So it's up to, you know, somebody else wants to be on it, certainly can.
And we can have more.
Okay.
Too.
And we'll reach out to friends and SafeCR just to confirm that those same individuals are going to represent. I'm assuming both groups want to still stay involved, but we'll confirm membership just in case things have changed with those individuals too. So that was it on the Historic Asset Inventory Subcommittee. If there's any questions. Okay. So for this one, flood control related demolition. So we have some properties that were acquired by the city. So this area right here is, so this is 21st Avenue Southwest. This does not exist anymore. The road was realigned. There's a levee that's built. You do see a little gap here if you've been out there in the levee system. The levee goes all the way to 16th Avenue. A pump house is going to go in that gap. So But the other part of the flood control system in this area is a detention basin, which would be located in this area. And so as part of that, there's three properties that the city acquired and is going to demolish those. And so I just wanted to give a heads up that they're going to be demolished as part of the flood control system project, and let you know that you will be seeing demo applications at the next February 13th meeting. And then I can just briefly kind of go, we've got some street view shots too.
Would you send those addresses if you could to Mark Stoker so he could get ahead of it and get pictures and stuff if he wants?
And that is something I did. That's something that can be done now. There's nothing
Wait.
Wrong with the homes that would prevent someone from...
Because that helps, because that he already knows and he can tell me, and that helps us how we vote.
Were they purchased with general Cedar Rapids funds, or were they purchased...
I'd have to find out.
Because if they're federal funds, then we may have Section 106 consultations. So.
And that would, again, only be if there is a historic asset and if it's being impacted.
But if Section 106, we still have a right to consult on it to determine those things.
And that's not how the MPS spells out the Section 106 consultation process.
That's how the Schimpel form spells it out. So.
Well, I went through at a past presentation that process.
And I
can go, and I would assume we'll go through that again at the next meeting so you can see that. And so these were previously surveyed, reconnaissance survey, and they were deemed not eligible for the register. So we have 74 22nd Avenue Southwest. It was built in 1951. There is a garage. Each one of these has a garage, and those will be demolished as well. 22nd Avenue, 1925. And 1915 built single family. And so that was going, the 1915 is on the bottom, so 74th is on the top, 78, and then 80.
So can you give me a landmark close to this? Because we're about,
it's on the way down to Tanager.
So right about here is 16th Avenue, Czech Village. This is C. This is the base of the landfill. You take this right now, there's a trail, but you would take this to go to the landfill if you wanted to hike or do whatever there. The river is right over here.
Okay.
Bowling is right here.
Okay, that's a far move, but more like the RFP that we did with SafeCR, and I don't remember the building's terms. Like, these would have been perfect houses for what SafeCR wanted to do.
Yeah,
they're too far away, probably, because you have to go into the interstate, et cetera, et cetera. But if there were some of these type houses on the northwest side, are there any left, do we know, that are going to be wiped out or taken down, that have been cleaned up like these? These weren't low houses.
We'd have to check.
My own point is, this is what, if this would have been on the other side of First Avenue, this would have been a perfect example of keeping the neighborhood that I was trying to make intact as that style home versus a new build, although I'm very happy that they did change what they were going to do. Dan?
So with these demolitions that are city-owned, if somebody wanted to pull some of the maybe features, that would be great. Like, say it has glass door knobs or something like that. Is that, number one, allowed? What's the process? And, you know, just if somebody wants to step in and maybe salvage some of the really cool things and hold it in their garage or give it to be sold or, you know, whatever, you know, to kind of keep it in the area as opposed to just being buried in the landfill. What would that look like?
So you best bet probably let me know, and then I can pass that person's information on to the manager over in building services that handles the demolitions.
Because I hate to see, like, you know,
the really great resources. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's molding that's amazing or something like that. I don't know. Maybe there's not.
And
I know
this
we used to talk salvage a lot more than we have this past year. Are we still doing?
So unless there is a reason, so 1527 Second Avenue, that had, because of how bad it was structurally, a good test of for asbestos and other contaminants could not be done. So federal law says the entire thing is now contaminated because you can't say what is or isn't safely. So in that case, nothing was allowed to be salvaged.
Can salvage be done on these three homes?
As far as I know, yes. And that's something I can clarify. And then, yeah, if there's anyone that has interest in that. Because I know photos can be taken now, so
yes,
it's structurally these things are fine.
Most of them are probably updated, so they might have lost their knowledge and stuff like that.
I mean, I would hope that when Mark goes in to take photos, that if he saw
something amazing, he might want
to. He would notify someone.
Could you add that to your email, or would you like me to email him when he takes pictures to let us know if
there's
salvage?
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our natural resources are doing, like, hardwood floors,
yeah,
if they're taken out properly.
Yeah.
Doors,
windows.
I mean, are people allowed to take materials and sell it for profit? Is that actually allowed?
That I don't know.
I
don't know. I know when a salvage has been allowed before, I don't know if there was any, like, okay, great, but what are you going to do with it after you take it? I don't think those discussions have taken place.
Sending doesn't a lot of CCRs go to the salvage barn and then resell it?
We sell it.
And
we sell it in agreement with.
They resell it for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff that friends salvages, we have in storage.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that it won't be sold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some's been sold, but I don't think we have as large inventory as, well, of course, the salvage barn or the one that's. Salvage barn's on the one here in town, too, correct, Cindy?
No. The salvage barn is in
Iowa City. Well, there's one here, too. What's it called?
With the Restore. Okay.
Yeah, Restore.
Yeah.
And Restore doesn't take the older
things. Yeah.
We've also got an agreement with Burlington.
So if you could let Mark know when he takes pictures, if he wants to take pictures, because I know
amazing.
He likes this information for future
mm-hmm.
books that he writes. If there's something in there that he feels is salvageable, to let us know.
Yeah.
Yep, I will do that. And the last thing is just that this will be going to City Council February 11th, and then demo would be scheduled sometime in early March, about the first week of March.
Okay.
So that gives Mark plenty of time.
Yeah.
And he might already have pictures of somebody.
Was there any discussion about allowing people to move these, or can they not be moved?
I can't answer that question.
I mean, these just kind of fit in with the Czech Village Nouveau action plan. I mean,
there's a timeline in place, and that is not negotiable.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Because this is for flood control.
Right.
When did the city acquire these?
I'd have to go back and look.
How much does it cost to move a building? If anyone were to ask me or anybody,
it's about $70 to $100, depending.
Okay.
Depends where they're at,
yeah.
Power lines or how many bridges.
Between, well, building and then you have to build foundation.
It's not easy.
It's not easy or cheap, okay.
Okay.
Are these the last of those houses that need to be demolished for that?
So what I'd have to check on, these are private right here. There's these two and that one. I think this is city-owned vacant. So those I would have to check on to see if those are things that the city would try to acquire. Again, basically, you'll see detention basins in on the dry sides. There's one across the river, the former Sinclair meatpacking plant, and it's basically so that when there is a high water event or if there's a lot of rain that the dry side stays dry, all that water is funneled into these detention basins. This is one of the lowest areas as well in Czech Village. So there might be, I think we always look at, you know, if there's an opportunity to provide even more assurance mitigation, you know, by making that bigger or whatever that is, then I think we try to do that.
There's two houses across
Okay. That's all you had for announcements?
Yep. And there were no certificates of no material effect.
That one looks interesting. Okay. Someone want to adjourn us?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
I was so ready to go.
Numerous times we've asked Adam.